For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
Wednesday evening, December the 30th, 1993. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Well, I was praying, Mo. I was praying about what I should talk about this afternoon. God sort of laid on my heart that we should talk about the unseen enemy. Jerry said that that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the prince of this world, or the prince of the power of the air. And his kingdom involves a ruler that we call Satan, or the accuser, or the resister. And he has a council in the heavenlies. And they rule, a tremendous number of demons, disembodied spirits that wander the face of this earth looking, wanting a body more than anything else to possess. They want to possess the body so that they can express themselves. Lots of commentators will tell you that they're the evil angels that fell with Satan. But angels have bodies. They're described in Scripture. Paul describes them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus says that you will be like the angels when you have your resurrection body. Angels have a body, but demons don't have a body, but they have a soul. They are spirits. They have a soul. Now, the soul is comprised of the intellect, the emotion, and the will. And we can find in Scripture that demons have all these characteristics. Let's look first in Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And here we find he has a will. He says, I will return. So he has a will there. And so let's look over at James chapter 2, verse 19. And here James is speaking to believers. He says, you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And so here we find the demons have intellect. They can believe. And they have emotions. They tremble at the thought of one God. Demons know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's just not their Lord. And they tremble because they all know where they're going. So Satan says he knows that his time is short. And demons know that they are subject to you in the name of Jesus. And so demons have souls. They're spirits. They have souls. They just don't have a body. But they can invade human bodies. Let's look at Mark 19. Mark 9, verse 17. And here Jesus has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's a whole bunch of people down there with his disciples. And one of them comes up to him and says, then one of the multitude answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, or a deaf and dumb spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out of him, but they could not. And he answered, O faithless generation, how long will you be with me? How long will I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and threw him to the ground, and he wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. It's often thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out in tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. The spirit cried out, convulsed him, and came out of him. And so here we find a spirit in a human body that Jesus cast out. This is a demon. It's called a demon, called an unclean spirit. Let's look at Matthew 8 now for another example. Matthew 8, 28 to 34 is the story of the demoniac. And it's interesting here. In Mark, you remember, in Mark and Luke, it speaks of being one man. But you'll notice in Matthew, it speaks of being two. When they came to the other side of the country in Gergesenes, they met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out and said, what do you have with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? You see, here the demons know that there is a time that they will be assigned to eternal torment. They know. And they said, Jesus, we know that we're going to be tormented, but it's not time yet. Again, showing that they have intellect. Now, a long way off, there was a herd of swine feeding, and so the demons begged him, if you cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And so when they'd come out, they went into the herd of the swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place of the water and perished. Here we find that Jesus threw this. I always thought it was interesting that there were two men here and only one man mentioned in Mark and Luke. But then you realize that Matthew was written to the Jewish people. And they required two witnesses. And when they left, Jesus said, go and tell the good things that God has done for you. And so they went and they witnessed. And when he came back, people brought the sick folks out so his shadow could pass over them. Because these men had witnessed all over the country. Luke and Mark were written to the non-Hebrew people. Everyone required one witness, and so it wasn't necessary for them to record that there were two men. That's the way I understand it anyway. Now, I can read a number of other illustrations. The King James uses the term possessed, and that's sort of an unfortunate translation because it provides total ownership. And the word oppressed is much better. Now, a believer, someone who has become a believer in Jesus Christ, his body is owned by Jesus Christ. He bought and paid for it with his blood. You all know that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you'll see it in writing. Chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now the interesting corollary to that is, if Jesus owns your body, if he is your landlord, and you're just a renter, then he's responsible for maintenance of the apartment that you live in, the tent. Jesus is responsible for all maintenance. And so when your body gets sick, you need to ring him up on the phone and call up and say, Jesus, your apartment down here is in need of repair, Lord. Come down and fix it. Heal it, Lord. But because he owns the body, then it can't be possessed by a demon. It can be oppressed, but it can't be possessed. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now you can yield areas of your flesh to demonic forces. Now let's look at Romans 6:16. You will find a teaching that's very common in Christianity today that they will tell you that a reborn, spirit-filled believer cannot have a demon. And you've got folks in certain denominations who are willing to bleed and die for this. But they cannot show it to you in Scripture. They've taken Scriptures out of context and twist them. But they can't show it Scripture. Most of the time, they just get angry and start shouting at you. If they can't prove it by Scripture, some of them who are very good and eloquent become very sarcastic. become very sarcastic and very demeaning. If they can't show it to you, then they attack you personally rather than the doctrine. But Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves, whether you obey either of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness?" When you present a part of your body to sin to obey it, then sin has dominion over that portion of your body. Now let's look at the words of Jesus in John 8:34. "And Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin.'" And so, when you submit a portion of your body to sin, then you become a slave in that area. And if you do it enough, you will have a demon come into you, and you will lose control of it. The demon will take control, and you are no longer in control. This happens when you smoke. Now, there are enough of you, so a number of you in here are old enough to have smoked. When I was 16 years old or 18 years old, everyone, it was the unusual person who did not smoke cigarettes. And the hardest thing one of the hardest things I had to do was to quit smoking. I was like Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, "Anyone can stop smoking. I've done it 1,000 times. I had quit 1,000 times. But something in those things just drew me back to them. And when I got saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I was able to quit. It was still a struggle. It did not come easy. But I was able to prevail over it. I was able to become delivered. God delivered me. I didn't understand deliverance at the time, but I knew that it was wrong. I knew that I needed to stop. And I cried out to Jesus. And he gave me the strength to stand against it. And I was able to quit and not gain weight and not substitute some other bondage for it. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 10, 11, verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. "I feel lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus..." Did y'all know that some religions worship other Jesuses? The Jehovah's Witnesses worship another Jesus. The Mormons worship another Jesus. The majority of the church today worships another Jesus, unfortunately. They do not worship the Jesus of the Bible. They worship a Jesus that they have compromised, that they have made over to suit themselves. "But preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received..." Now, the New International says, "which is different from the one that you originally received," the New International and the New American Standard. If you receive a spirit different from the original Holy Spirit that you received, now that means that a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian can have another spirit come into their body, a different one from the Holy Spirit. Those are demons. Those are demons. And it says right here that you can have, or a different gospel, different news. And so we see here that there are evil spirits that have mind, will, and emotion. They just don't have a body. They're looking for a body to possess. We find in the Word of God that they can possess human beings and were cast out by Jesus, which comprised 1/3 of his ministry. And we find that Paul tells us that a spirit-filled, saved, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian incarnate can receive a different spirit from the Holy Spirit, can receive a demon into them if they sit under false teaching. And Jesus says that if you sin, you'll become a slave to the sin. And do you know what gives the demon, how much authority the demon has in your life? How much authority does the demon have? as much as you worship and serve Him. The more you worship and serve Him, the more authority He will have. How much authority do the principalities and powers that are assigned over these areas that have been here for generations, for 500, 1,000 generations, the Indian spirits that were assigned to this land, how much authority do they have? It depends on how much they were worshipped. They have been disposed. They want to come back. How much does a demon have? As much as you serve him. For as you serve him, you come into slavery or bondage. The more you serve him, the more bondage you come into. If you have someone who really loves money and who chases money, and money becomes his God, then greed will have a hold on him. And the more he chases money, the tighter the hold of greed is. And the more it dominates him. If you have someone who is a whoremonger, and he chases, the more he serves that, the more in bondage he is. The more that thing will control him. Now, if you yield ground to evil spirits, you know, God gave you a free will. Now, we covered it in Romans 16. Let's look at Joshua 24:15. Yeah, Joshua's an old man. And he's brought all the people back. He's dying. He's brought all the people back to renew the covenant. He is the last of the men that remember the miracles done in the desert and on the Red Sea. And he's the last of the person. He and Caleb are the last to remember what happened in Egypt. All the rest of them are dead. And so he talks to them here in chapter 24, verse 15. Let's look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him with sincerity and in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the Euphrates and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Him, God, given you an absolute free choice to serve who you will. Now, whenever you yield grounds to evil spirits, either willfully, because you want to, you know it's wrong, but by gosh, you're going to do it anyway. That's willful iniquity and rebellion. Or by deception, you get deceived, and you're sucked in and you don't know it. But you still give them legal rights because you're serving them. And by accident, or by violence, you know, if you get raped, the spirit of rape comes into you. You have small kids who get seduced by the homosexual spirit will come into them. They will take advantage of that opportunity to replicate themselves or get seduced into it. Just sort of want to go along, you know. Don't really want to hurt anybody's feelings. Just want to be one of the crowd. We talked a few minutes ago about the setup now. We set this thing up that Satan is in the heavens. And he's got a war council in the heavens. Let's look at Ephesians now, chapter 6. We'll start with verse 10 and read through verse 12. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, the good news for modern man says we do not wrestle against beings with bodies. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You mean that these folks are up in the heavens? Yeah, that's what it says, heavenly places. That's the same word that's used when it says that Jesus was raised up in the heavens. Let's look at the meaning of these words. Now, wrestling, the spiritual battle, you know, if we thought we had demons to have, Frank Hammond says we'd like to have a cannon, you know, and shoot at them about 4 miles over there. Keep them as far away as possible. When I was in college, I was a wrestler. I wrestled on the college team at 129 pounds. Wrestling is very close combat. I mean, you get right up there next to them. I don't believe you can get any closer than you do in a wrestling match. And it requires your total body. It requires everything you've got to wrestle. And you're wrestling with these feelings. It's a wrestling match. It's close order combat. It requires that you think. It requires strength and pressure. You've got to put pressure on the other fellow. And you've got to use your physical strength. You got to use your mind. And it takes a certain amount of training. And that's what you need to do when you fight demons. You got to have a certain amount of training. Got to be in the training school of the Holy Spirit. You got to know the Word. Put pressure on it. You put pressure by the use of the Word. The sword of the Spirit. Do you know what the sword of the Spirit is? It is the spoken word. It is the rhema word. Not the logos, the rhema word. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the spoken word of God. That's what you fight with. The only offensive weapon you got is to be able to speak the word against them. Okay. Let's look at the first. Principalities. Now, the Greek is archos. Now, this principality, we don't see. That's an old English term, and it literally means a prince and the area of his authority. Now, we have a principality left in the world today called the Principality of Monaco, ruled by Prince Reina, and it's a small area off of France. And he rules it. He has nobles that he has other nobles there that rule with him, and then he has a hierarchy. And archios indicates an area, a territory, and the ruler with a descending order of rulers. Like a general, 4 or 5 colonels, 10 or 12 majors, 50 or 100 captains, 1,000 lieutenants, God knows how many sergeants, and then a whole bunch of buck privates. And they're all subject to somebody. If you want to know what it looks like, look at the Hindu world. Look at the Hindu world. You see the untouchables, and you see it's very divided into a caste system, and each caste is looking up, wanting to be up there. But very strict, very regimented in a caste system. And that's the way the demons are scheduled. And you have a certain number assigned to you and your family. Every territory has a ruling prince assigned to it. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. And here we have Daniel who's been fasting. He's been fasting for 21 days, waiting for an answer from God. And let's look at verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your word." Now, Daniel still humbled himself 21 days ago. And God heard him and sent this angel out that day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. Now, you see, there was a prince in charge of Persia, and he had under him certain kings. Now, you know that these are not human beings. They couldn't withstand the Archangel Gabriel. They couldn't withstand the Angel Gabriel. But here we have evil angels. First, a prince assigned to Persia, and Persia's divided up, and he's got kings over each one of these areas. Now, I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the revision refers to many days to come. And then, on verse 20, he said to me, "Do you know why I have come to you? I must return to fight now with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come." And you all know that the Persian Empire was conquered by Alexander the Great of Macedonia and Greece. And so the prince of Greece came. That was the evil angel over Greece, and brought with him his evil hordes. And he was going to fight because God's people were in Persia. And it says here that no one uphold me except Michael, your prince, one of the chief princes. And so here we see that God's throne is up him. And between God's throne and Daniel down here is an area in which these evil angels operate. And they keep the message of God from getting through. But Daniel persisted in prayer. And so the message came through. Does that tell you you should persist? Let's look at the next one. Let's go back to Ephesians. So much for principalities. Well, let's see what else is up there. It says, against powers. Now, the word there in the Greek is exousia, which really means authority. There are two words that are commonly translated power in the King James that come from one is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamo or dynamite, that kind of power, explosive power. And the other is exousia, which really means authority, power by authority. I'll give you an example of that. If I go down here and I run a red light, and there's a policeman standing there with a badge on, he tells me to stop, and he's littler than I am, and I go out and I whip him, he's going to get on the phone, and he's going to call down to the police headquarters, and they're going to have 50 policemen out there, because his authority represents the whole police department of Hot Springs. And if they can't handle me, they're going to get on the phone and call the governor, and he's going to send the highway patrol and the National Guard out here. But that's what authority is. Authority means the power behind it. He represents the authority. And these people represent authority. Next is the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that's komorotos, which means Lord of this world in Greek. Now we know, let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Luke 5 and see who this Lord of this world is. But it's a little L, not a big L, of the God of this world. Luke 5. Four, 5-8. And here we see Satan and the devil, the accuser, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, Jesus, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, before me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." You'll notice that Jesus didn't call Satan a liar and say, "You don't have the authority to give me that." He just said, "I won't do it." But he also said that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. Anything that you worship, you will serve. You will be brought into slavery of it. Paul called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. Be a slave of Jesus, and you're a slave of the devil. But somebody, you're going to serve somebody in this world. That's only two kingdoms. You have to choose. As Joshua said, choose this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the kingdom of God, or you're going to serve the other fellow. And I can assure you the other fellow will hold you in strict bondage. Jesus Christ will never hold you in bondage. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so him, he is called the God of this age. Okay? Let's turn over to Ephesians 2:2. Start with verse 1. And you he's made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works among the sons of disobedience, among whom you were all conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That word by nature means you were born children of wrath. You know, that's the same word that Paul used in Galatians when he said to Peter, you know, Peter, you and I are Jews by nature. We're Jews by nature, not like these Gentile sinners. It means that you were born. Okay. Let's look at 1 John 5:19. So you'll know who the 1 John 5:19 says. We know that we're of God, and the whole world, that's the world system, lies in the lap of the evil one, or under the sway of the evil one, under the control of the evil one, depending on the translation you have. I like in the lap of the evil one. That's the old King James. And so there we have the rulers. These are the rulers. These are the authorities, the rulers, and a council set in the heavens. And spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:2. 2 Corinthians 12:2 says, 12:1 says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. To the third heaven. Well, now, by logic, if there is a third heaven, there must be a first and second heaven. And he says he was caught up into paradise, the paradise of God. Verse 3, I know such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, no, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. And so if the third heaven is the paradise of God, then there's a second heaven and a first heaven. The first heaven is the heaven that the birds fly in. It goes up to 5 miles. The eagle is said can fly 5 miles high, and that's the highest height in the first heaven. And that's how high the authority in this realm. And then there's a second heaven, and that's where Satan has his headquarters. And that's where he has his war room. And that's where he has all of his evil angels reporting to him. And they are talking all the time to this hierarchy that goes all the way down to the buck private demons. You know, Satan is a single created entity. He is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. He can only be in one place at one time. Now, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But Satan is a single created entity and can be only one place at one time. So he is dependent upon this highly organized system to report. He cannot read your mind. How many of y'all think Satan can read your mind? Knows what you think. Is there anybody here that would challenge that statement? Well, he has probably brought the other thoughts to mind too. Let's turn to Daniel. Thank you, sister. You're brave enough to speak what most folks think. They just don't want to say it. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he had a dream, and he wanted to know what it meant. So he called all of his soothsayers, his charlatans, his astronomers, his wise men, his magicians, his enchanters, all the witches. And you must realize that witchcraft reached its height in the Babylonian Assyrian Empire. The archaeologists today are still amazed at some of the things they find. They find bones that have been cut and repositioned. They find holes in people's heads, evidence that some type of surgery has been performed. And the only way it could be performed is by psychosurgery, which occurs in primitive lands today. If you want to read about psychosurgery, get The Beautiful Side of Evil. It's described in that very, very nicely by a good Christian writer who went through it. And you need to read it. Anyway, witchcraft, and so the verse 3 of chapter 2 says, "The king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. And the Chaldeans spoke to the king, and Aramaic said, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream, we'll give you interpretation. But the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut to pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you will receive to me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." And they answered and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is no man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing from any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requires. There is no other who can do it to the king except the gods, those dwelling, whose dwelling is not in the flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very fierce and gave commandment to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went out, and in killing the wise men, they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Now, you see, if these men who had familiar spirits were able to read the king's mind and know what the dream was, they would have told him. And so you come down to see what Daniel says. Daniel went in, okay. And the secret was revealed. So Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes time, removes kings, gives wisdom." All right. Okay, verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen in interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, astrologers, and magicians, and soothsayers cannot declare it to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has been made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in latter days. Your dream and the visions on your head were these." And so he went ahead. He says, only God can read your mind. If you don't speak it, the devil doesn't know. Now, he can guess. But once you speak it out and say it, let's look at Ecclesiastes. See, there's Isaiah. Ecclesiastes comes after the Song of Solomon, before the Song of Solomon. Let's look at verse 20. "Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich in your bedroom. See? For the bird of the air will carry your voice, and the bird in flight will tell the matter." That word there, bird, literally means flying thing. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 20. I'm sorry. This is Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 20. "Do not curse the rich in your bedroom. For the bird of the air will carry your voice, and the bird in flight may tell the matter. Now, the translation that bird there mean, literally means flying things. It's the same thing that was translated in Ezekiel as flying things when we were talking about witchcraft. And it means a familiar spirit. My mother used to tell me that whenever I misbehaved, that she had little birdies all over town that would tell her what was going on, and she did. Boy, she had little birdies everywhere. Couldn't get away with a thing. But I always felt like they were the old ladies who were looking out the window and watching. But this was, I didn't know this verse was in the Bible. But if you speak it, the familiar spirits that are assigned to you will hear it, and they will communicate it to the devil. They will know what you're thinking. That's how they know. All you got to do, but you've got to speak it. They cannot read your mind. They can only hear what you say. So, we'll look again now at the system. There is a headquarters in the heavens, in the second heaven, comprised of Satan and his princes. And under them, territories are divided up into kings. And under them, a whole hierarchy, descending hierarchy of demonic powers that stretches out so that everybody's got somebody assigned to him. And they report back up the ladder. And anything that's deemed to be destructive to the kingdom of Satan is communicated rapidly up, and the council acts on it and sends down a countermeasure. One of these princes fails in his duty, he'll be replaced. So he's ruthless. He's absolutely ruthless with you. The good thing is that we have authority over this. In Luke 9:1, he called his disciples together and gave them authority. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and cure diseases, and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Luke 10:17 said he sent 70 out. Let's look at Mark 16:7. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. They drink anything deadly, will no man harm them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And in Matthew 28:18-20, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all things I have commanded, and lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the world." Let's look at Acts 1:8 now. What did he tell them? He said, "Remain in Jerusalem, and you shall be endowed with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and you will be martyrs to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world." Is that what your Bible says? You will be martyrs? That's the same word. You will be witnesses. You will be martyrs for me. And y'all have been martyred? Let's look at Acts 2:39. Peter says, "The promise is for you and for your children and to all who are far off and as many as the Lord will call." Now, those people who tell you that this promise was just to the disciples, read this verse to them. "Promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call." All y'all been called by him? And this promise is to you. James 4:7-10 gives you the formula. Before we do that, let's look at Ephesians. Keep your finger in James. Let's go to Ephesians first. Ephesians 1:20. Starting with verse 20. "The mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sitteth him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the age to come." That's where Jesus is. Up at the throne of God in the third heaven, high above And where are you? Let's look at chapter 2, verse 20. No, verse 10. 10. Okay. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. And so you've been raised. Now, when are you in Jesus Christ in the heavens? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. And there is a time when you come into the Holy Spirit and you come into a unity with the Holy Spirit and you mesh and harmonize with the Holy Spirit that you will be raised up and you stand there at the throne of God. And when you're standing there in harmony with the Holy Spirit and you speak it forth, it'll come to pass. But you've got to be in absolute harmony with the Holy Ghost. And you don't do that with selfish prayers. As an intercessor, when you have put self to death and you stand in intercession for what Jesus wants you to pray, and you're in harmony with the Holy Ghost, and He is providing you with the words, the same thing Jesus is interceding for the Father, it will come to pass. I mean, you are standing at the foot of the throne and you are speaking it forth. And it has the full power and authority. Jesus said, whenever you ask anything in my name. And this is what He's talking about. When you are in harmony with Him. Now, it is the word says, whenever two or three are gathered and agree touching anything. Now, that is not a mental agreement. That is the Greek word is symphonized. From which we get our word symphony. And it means a harmony in the Spirit. When you come into harmony with the Holy Ghost and you speak it forth in harmony, it'll come to pass. The powers of darkness cannot stand against it because it bears the full authority of Jesus Christ. Remember, 1 John 1:4 says, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. That's one of the things that God showed me very plainly when He showed me the tabernacle. That when you stand at the foot of the throne, the powers of darkness cannot stand against you. Now, He also showed me that His time was not my time, and that I might speak it forth, but it will come to pass in His time, not necessarily my time. One of the hardest things I've had to learn in prophesying and in seeing into the future is that God doesn't give you the time. He'll give you a vision of what's going to happen, but most of the time He don't give you no time with it. And I used to try to manufacture time, and I embarrassed myself several times. And I may see something, but I don't put a time reference on it. I know it's going to come to pass, but it's going to come in God's time and not mine. For He says, your time is not my time, and your ways are not my ways. For my ways are higher than your ways. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your time is always perfect. His time is always perfect. Someone asked me today that if I would cover a teaching on the tattered soul, I could probably talk about an hour about it, but I want to talk about 10 minutes and give you the scriptural basis for it. Let's look at Ezekiel first. We've looked at all of these scriptures. But let's look at Ezekiel first. I know I went over this with the men. I don't know whether I went over it with ladies. Look at Ezekiel 13:17. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves, make veils on the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people to keep yourself alive? And the rest of it, verse 20 says, thus says the Lord God, but I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like flying things. There's this word birds, but literally means flying things. I will tear them off your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. He will let the souls go. I will tear off your veil and deliver my people out of your hand. now. Let's look at Proverbs 6. Here we find that by witchcraft, a portion of your soul can be trapped. I can give you all kind of examples of that. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 6 now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31, 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does destroys his own soul. You lose part of your soul in adultery. And come down to chapter 7, verse 23, or verse 22. Immediately he went after her. That's the seductress. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his life. But that word life there is also can be translated soul. It's a Hebrew word. It can be translated soul. And so there are two things, there are two ways that you can lose your soul, portions of your soul. One is through sexual immorality, and the other is through witchcraft. You can lose it through professional witchcraft. You can lose it through being ungodly controlled. You can lose it going to a counselor who you become excessively dependent upon. And I know people who go to psychiatrists, and they get so dependent on them that they have to call them and ask them what color tie to wear. Can't make any decision without first talking to their counselor. And that's called dependence in medical terms. But it's a soul tie. It's a tie in the spirit world. It can be broken. Whenever you have any type of sexual contact, you develop a soul tie, a tie in the spirit world from the transposition of soul material. And if you have someone who has been excessively dominated, who's been excessively attacked by witchcraft, or who's been excessively, you can also lose portions of your soul. And if you do anything that lowers your will, if you take drugs that lower your will, such as alcoholics or sorcery, and you lower your will, it says a man without a will is like a city without walls, in Proverbs. One of the things is having a general anesthetic. Your will is completely, if you have a loved one who's undergoing general anesthesia, you should cover them with prayer. Ask God to place the war rings around them and cover them, because they're very extremely vulnerable during this time. If you get into transcendental meditation, or in some type of meditation, and you make your mind passive or void, you empty your mind to invite things to come in. You pick up demons this way, and then you lose part of your soul. The demons will steal it because your will is down. What do you do about it? Thank God. Let's turn to the 23rd Psalm. There in Ezekiel, God says, I will let the soul go free. Now let's look at the 23rd Psalm. You all can quote that by heart, but look at this verse in it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He says, I will let the soul go. And he says, I will restore it. So when you're praying for the tattered soul, first, you cover all the sin involved. You cover all the sin. You go through all the sin involved. If you let this happen. You break all the soul ties involved. You break all the curses involved from the sin. Then you cover the sins of the fathers. And you break the curses and the soul ties. Then you come against any curses or witchcraft control that has come in inadvertently, accidentally, through counseling, through being dominated by your parents in an ungodly fashion, or dominated by anybody at the job or anywhere. Somebody who has been dominated and manipulated you unreasonably in an ungodly fashion, he probably has a soul tie and captured part of your soul. And you break all these things. You cover sexual sin, sexual impropriety. And then, after you've broken all the curses and broken all the soul ties, you ask God to send out the war angel to break any containers containing part of your soul. Now, a witch can extract part of your soul and put it in a jar. Now, that may sound strange to some of you, but I've seen it happen. I was raised with voodoo, and the voodoo doctor can take part of the soul and put it in a jar. hold it captive. Norman Parrish talks about the people in Guatemala where they have a great deal of this that goes on. He talks about the witch doctor who came to Christ and went out and opened all the jars and said, in the name of Jesus, I let you go, and threw the jar down the ravine. And all those people, he went by to see him and said, how you doing? He said, you know, something happened this morning. What it is, but I sure feel a lot better. There's something happened this morning. I don't know what. And so you ask God to send forth the angels to break those containers and the ministering spirits to gather up the parts of your soul and to restore it according to the 23rd Psalm. And that's called the tattered soul. And only God can restore the soul. Jesus will restore the soul. He is the shepherd of your soul. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd looks after the sheep. He binds up the brokenhearted. He seeks that which is lost and wounded. Oh, God. And he carries them and he nurses them back to health. And he will restore your soul because he is the good shepherd. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you, oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank you. Oh, God, God, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our shepherd, Lord. You have restored us, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand up. Praise you, Lord God. Let's praise him, folks. Just keep on praising him. Praise him. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of praise, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Oh, God, with a grateful heart, Lord. Oh, Lord, we will serve you, Lord God. We will serve you, Lord, with a grateful heart, Lord God, with a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Because you did not serve him in abundance of all things with a grateful heart, you will serve your enemies in the lack of all things, in hunger and nakedness. Praise you, Lord God, in poverty. Oh, God, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Well, let's all sit down. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, I make the following confession. I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it's through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I do now repent of these sins. And I ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all these doors which I have opened to Satan. And I ask you, dear Lord, help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the following: the occult, witchcraft and magic, all seances and clairvoyance and mediums, contacts with familiar spirits, Ouija boards and other occult games, all fortune telling and palm reading, tea leaf reading and crystal balls, tarot and card laying, pendulum, all astrology, and interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation, all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, parapsychology. I renounce water witching, a dousing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, automatic writing. I renounce astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power of positive thinking,
Positive control salesmanship. Demonic power to impose my will on others. Renounce all sorcery. Dependence on talisman. Such as St. Christopher's medals. Mary medallions. Good luck charms. Rabbit foots. Four-leaf clovers. Wishbones. Potions. Amulets. And vow will destroy any on my person under my control. I will destroy any foreign idols, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian ankara, pentagrams, or other abominations on my person under my control. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. And I vow I will destroy such books in my possession. I will also destroy any objects or pictures, signs, statutes of jewelry, or charts which are on my person or in my house. I break all curses. Spells or hexes or jinxes or charms placed on me from an occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy and incest back 50 generations. I break the curse of idolatry and whoredom off of my family line. I renounce any false oaths my ancestors have made to any false religion. I break all demonic subjugation, demonic soul ties, bondage to my mother and father, grandparents, spouses or ex-spouses, or any human being who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity. I break all curses of mental or physical illness. Dear Lord, I confess. I've committed sexual sins. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess I've committed the following. Anything that you, any sins that you've committed, you need to repent. Confess them to God very quietly under your voice, and ask God to forgive you. I claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to 1 John 1:9. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I notify and reclaiming all areas that I have previously yielded to you. I close all these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. I bind you and your host. Command you to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved but resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive anyone that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. You need to forgive. Just wait a minute or two. Anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just touch them. Anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind, you need to forgive very quietly. It needs to be audible just to you and God. Thank you, Lord. I do now forgive myself. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood. and I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them. I renounce them all. I come to you now as my deliverer. Lord Jesus, claiming your promise. In Joel 2:32. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Oh, I call on you, Lord Jesus. Deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. Loose yourself from me. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me right now. Thank you, Lord. And all God's folks said, amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Now in the name of Jesus, I just bind. I bind all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. These are God's people. I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. I'm going to leave God's people now. Just leave. All spirits of rejection and fear. I bind the spirit of lust. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind all lust now. I bind all sexual lust. I bind all lust for things. Lust for money. Lust for power. Lust for position. I bind all lust in the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind it in the name of Jesus. I break all ungodly soul ties. All ungodly soul ties to things. All ungodly soul ties to things and to money in the name of Jesus Christ. Ungodly soul ties to position and power. I break all ungodly soul ties to the past in the name of Jesus. Break all ungodly soul ties to anyone in the past in the name of Jesus. I break all ungodly soul ties to any sexual partner outside of the will of God in the name of Jesus. I break it now. I break all these soul ties in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of whoredom. I come against the spirit of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. Idolatry in the name of Jesus. Leave. Leave in the name of Jesus. All idolatry, leave. All spirits of the whore, go in the name of Jesus. All fornication, leave now in the name of Jesus. All fornication, leave in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 All fornication, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All oral genital sex, leave in the name of Jesus. All sodomy, leave. All homosexuality, leave. All spirits of man-hating spirits, leave in the name of Jesus. All lesbian spirits, man-hating spirits, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all of you and I command you to leave. Leave God's people. You've got no right to them. I come against witchcraft. All witchcraft. All witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. All witchcraft. All witchcraft. All witchcraft mind control. All demonic witchcraft. All demonic fear. All witchcraft fear. All Indian witchcraft. All voodoo. All hoodoo. In the name of Jesus, all black forest witchcraft be gone. All Irish witchcraft be gone in the name of Jesus. All gypsy witchcraft, all Romanian witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I bind you all in the name of Jesus. I come against you. All sorcery, all sorcery, all spirits of country music, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of rock music, of country music in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I say be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All country music, all country music, all rock music in the name of Jesus. I bind the bondage to rock music, the bondage to country music in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I just bind all these spirits and command them to leave now in the name of Jesus. I break all ungodly soul ties, all ungodly soul ties to anyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I send forth the war angels now in the name of Jesus to break any containers containing part of the soul of these people who have been stolen through witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I send forth the war angels now to break the containers. I send forth the ministering spirits to gather up the pieces of the soul that have been stolen during religious rites in the name of Jesus, during the Catholic religious rites, doing binding religious rites in the name of Jesus. I send forth the angels now to gather up all these pieces of soul in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I send the ministering spirits to minister, Lord, and to bring them in. Lord, as you said, you will lead us beside still waters and green pastures, and you would restore our soul. According to your promise in Ezekiel, you said you would let the souls of your people go free that were held captive, Lord. Lord, I speak now to restoration of the soul, Lord, according to your promise in Psalms 23. In the name of Jesus, I send forth all this in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration to the soul, to the mind, to the will, and to the intellect in the name of Jesus. It's been stolen. All the mind and the will and the intellect has been stolen in the name of Jesus Christ to try to put people in subjugation to them in the name of Jesus. I break all the witchcraft curses that have come against these people now in the name of Jesus. I break witchcraft that have come in from the hoodoo and the voodoo and the professional in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I bring to remembrance, Lord, what is written in your word in the name of Jesus, Lord. I bring to remembrance what is written in your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I praise you and I bless you for it, Lord Jesus. You said, Lord, that you would retaliate against those who retaliated against your people. That you would send back those curses on their own heads. That's what you said in your word, Lord Jesus. And right now, I bring it to your remembrance, Lord. And I send it back according to your word in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Now I come against all demonic bondage in the name of Jesus. I come against all bondage to alcohol. To alcohol. To cigarettes. To marijuana. To drugs in the name of Jesus. To caffeine in the name of Jesus Christ. To fear. To witchcraft fear. I break all demonic bondage to bitterness. For the people cried out in bitterness with bitter tears. They cried out in bitter tears with bondage in the name of Jesus. I break the bitter tears, the bitter bondage in the name of Jesus Christ, the bondage to bitterness in the name of Jesus. I break this bondage in the name of Jesus that have held your people in bondage. I break it now and I command these demons of bondage to leave. The root of bitterness, the root of bitterness, the bitter bondage in the name of Jesus. I come against the root of resentment in the name of Jesus. Of resentment and bondage and bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. Of hurt and deep hurt. I bind these things and I command them to leave in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I come against ecclesiastical spirits now. I come against the spirit of Mariology in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of Mary. I break the spirit of Mary, of the mother-child spirit. I break the spirit of the Madonna in the name of the Madonna and the baby in the name of Jesus Christ. Mary, and I speak to you, and I say, come out, Queen of Heaven. I break your authority in the name of Jesus, and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you and I praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, I come against arthritis. I come against the curse of arthritis in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of arthritis now. Arthritis in the backbone. Arthritis in the back and muscle spasm have come in, Lord, because of resentment, because of bondage, and because of witchcraft. And I stand here and I speak to arthritis now. Pain in the joint. I speak to pain in the joint and I speak to muscle spasm. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I say, be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. I speak healing and restoration to God's people. In the name of Jesus. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Restore the souls now of your people, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I come against sexual lust. I come against sexual lust in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of pornography that will hold people in sexual lust. I come against the lust of the eye in the name of Jesus. I just bind it now. I come against the spirit of masturbation. From masturbation, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't you tear people, you just leave. I come against the spirit of sexual fantasy. I come against the spirit of sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of sexual fantasy and command it to leave these people in the name of Jesus. Just go. All sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 All of you there. All sexual lust, sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Now I speak to chlamydia, the spirit of chlamydia, and I bind it and I command it to leave. The spectre of the human papillomavirus, in the name of Jesus, I bind it. I curse it to its roots and command it to dry up and go away. I speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. Thank you and we praise you for it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just praise your holy name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name. Everybody hold up your hands now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak your healing grace, Lord. The healing balm of Gilead. Lord, I speak your healing grace to your people now in the name of Jesus. I speak your healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I say, fill them, Lord God. Fill them with the joy of the Lord. Lord, you gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Fill them full, Lord, that they might be a tree of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Blow all this stuff out of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just praise you and bless you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to touch them now, Lord, from the crown of their head to their soul to their feet. I release on them, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Just touch them, Lord Jesus. Fill your people up now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up and praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, God, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Now, Lord, I just ask you to bless this food, Lord Jesus. Bless this food to our use and us to your service, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, touch all of these people in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. And all God's folks said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.